Window World is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Simply the best for less at WindowsKansasCity.com.
I think most of you know that I'm an extremely proud Kansas City native, as many of you are that listen to KKHI. And because we're extremely proud and lifelong or long-time Kansas City residents, there's a special thing we get to do when it pertains to Kansas City, and that is we get to kind of say and think things that maybe we wouldn't let people on the outside say or think, or certainly wouldn't appreciate it if they did. And I've done this from time to time on the podcast, and you've heard it, and I'm going to start with it today because I really don't know what to make of the fact that Kansas City, a week out from Thanksgiving, for crying out loud, a week out from Thanksgiving, holidays coming up, so many things going on, so many important things going on in the world. Maybe the headline here is Kansas City is officially declared COVID over, because this city's obsession with the first Whataburger opening is one of the strangest things I've ever seen. I've seen a lot of odd things. I've seen a lot of things come and go. I've seen people get excited when, you know, Jack in the Box comes or a new restaurant opens or this or that, and you never know how they're going to play out long term. We see that, but this is completely different. There's going to be an onslaught of these restaurants around the Kansas City area, St. Joseph, and I think throughout Kansas and maybe even Missouri. Of course, the headline, the big part of the Whataburger success story, or obsession anyway, with people in Kansas City, is that Patrick Mahomes has formed a company or is part of the ownership group of Whataburger. But we are so crazed for this Whataburger opening in Lee's Summit. And I've had Whataburger many times. Not for a long time, but I've had it many times in Texas and in Arizona. And it's good. It's good. It's good. It's not a great hamburger. I'm just going to tell you right now, there's not going to be one thing about it you're going to go, wow, that's the greatest hamburger I've ever had. No, you're not. It's a burger place. It's a burger chain. It's a lot like a lot of the other burger chains, whether that's Wendy's, McDonald's, Burger King, Jack in the Box. It's a big chain. It is not a gourmet burger. It's not unique like Five Guys wrapped in foil and extra meaty. It's not In-N-Out Burger. In my opinion, it's not a thing called Fat Burger. If you've ever had one of those, I think Fat Burgers are really, really good. Whataburger's good. I can't put it ahead of Culver's. I'm definitely not going to put it ahead of Freddy's. Don't make me get into rankings. Maybe we'll do our own KKHI burger rankings here at some point. But Whataburger is just fine. It's fine. The most unique thing they have is a spicy ketchup. And the people who like the spicy ketchup like everything at Whataburger with the spicy ketchup on it. But people are absolutely going nuts. They've gone so crazy in Lee's Summit with the opening of the first Whataburger in Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes' affiliation that the Lee's Summit police are working overtime on traffic and a detour route for the Whataburger. They're trying to funnel cars off the main road and bring them in the back way to not create a traffic situation in Lee's Summit because so many people are lined up to eat at Whataburger. Now, I suspect these are the same people that get up at 4 a.m. on Black Friday, or worse yet, that go at 10 o'clock on Wednesday, well, it would be Thursday night, that go at 10 o'clock on Thanksgiving night and rush the doors as they open because it's late at night, which I don't really understand. Because, you know, B-Stock is one of them. We'll talk about B-Stock here in a moment. B-Stock has great prices all the time. They've got some special deals they're doing in November, and they're categorizing it as Black Friday all November. Well, every television commercial you see right now is Black Friday starts now at XXX store, whatever it is. I'm sorry, I didn't mean adult stores by XXX. At X store number X is Black Friday starts now. It's true. The deals are there. There's things on sale. Not everything is on sale. A lot of things are on sale. We know that's happening. There are hamburger stores everywhere in Kansas City. If you just wait a couple weeks, you can probably go to Whataburger without standing in line. The prices aren't going to change. My guess is they're going to get better at cooking the darn things. The food will get better as they have a couple of weeks that they're open. It may be a better experience in 2 weeks than it is now. Who are the people that line up for the first day at Whataburger? Who are the people that get up at 4 a.m. and go to Target on Black Friday? Who are these people? I don't know them. I'm just being honest with you. I don't know them. They're not in my life. I don't know who they are. I don't know. I mean, I'm going to go to Whataburger. When one opens here close to me in a month or two or whatever, I'll probably go someday and go to Whataburger. Drive through, take my dog, give him a bite of my French fries. It'll be nice. I'll try a different kind of burger. I love burgers. I love cheeseburgers. The only newsworthy thing to come out of this for me is the things that I truly despise. And that is, you know, we have this social media and you learn everything about everyone. And, oh, there's Britney and there's the baby and they've got these dogs and, you know, all this and all that. And we're all familiar with everything about the Mahomes. And every time my wife brings it up, she's on her phone and she's reading about the Mahomes. I'm like, I don't want to know really about their personal life all that much. I want the young man to play great football. I want him to be a leader. I want the Chiefs to win. I like that. I don't have, to this point, and I spent an entire year interviewing him every week. He was a guest on my radio show his first year. Every week we had him on. Fine young man. I enjoyed being around him. I never asked him for pictures or autographs or anything like that. To me, he was a kid. He was like one of my children. And it's just a weird thing for me. But now there's a Whataburger. And now I've learned that the guy that puts ketchup on his steak, which just completely turned me off on Patrick Mahomes, eats his burgers exactly the way I do. Extra cheese, ketchup, and lots of pickles only. And that's it. We eat burgers the exact same way. So there you have it. I found something that I have in common with Patrick Mahomes other than I want the Chiefs to win every week. And Whataburger is open and we literally have traffic jams in Lee's Summit because Whataburger is open. What could Patrick Mahomes open in this town that wouldn't work, at least for a while? Let's hope he stays out of the sports bar business, because that's a whole different ranking. That's a whole different, I'm telling you, sports bar fans are becoming more and more discerning. Like, you'll go to Buffalo Wild Wings if you're on a budget. If you got to have that cheap draft beer in a plastic cup kind of thing and some wings that are cheap and they bring them out fast and you're going to watch some games or something, you want to be in a sports environment, you'll go to Buffalo Wild Wings. But there's too many good places now. There's too many places that have real food and real TVs and real service and whatnot. And people are discerning. They're not that much more expensive. They're a little more expensive. But Whataburger is a low bar. I mean, Whataburger could be poorly managed in Kansas City and be successful because it's affiliated with Patrick Mahomes. You don't have to have a great experience. Your fries could be a little cold. You probably won't complain. He's my quarterback. But he needs to stay out of the steak and ketchup business, and he needs to stay out of the sports bar business. Whataburger is just fine for Patrick Mahomes. It's just fine. And I will go, and I'm sure it will be fine. What I mostly remember is the meat-to-bun ratio is horrible. Okay, I'm a meat-to-bun ratio guy. That's it. That is my thing. I got to have a good ratio. The smaller the bun, the better. And what really bothers me and what I remember about Whataburger is it's a little bit like Sonic. It's the thin patty. Okay, it's a real thin patty. And then the bun, there's a half an inch of overhang of bun all the way around the patty. I'm like, no, why would I want bread to overhang my burger by a half an inch all the way around? That's a non-starter for me. I start pulling the edges of the bun off. So I hope you're not disappointed with Whataburger. It's fine. There's nothing wrong with Whataburger. I'm not sitting here telling you won't enjoy it. And maybe these will be the best run Whataburgers in town and it'll always be hot and fresh and yummy. My suggestion would be don't even think about it. Get two patties on your burger. Don't even think about one patty because it's a skinny little Sonic crap. And the Sonic burgers are fine, but you got to put a double patty on it. Or get the smaller little double burger so your burger to bun ratio is better. I know you guys are with me on this. Nobody wants a skinny patty and a fat bun. Who designed that? Nobody wants that. That's not a burger. That's a bread sandwich. With a little filling I like good cheese too. And there aren't very many places that really have good cheese. Like American cheese is the least flavorful cheese on the planet. It is. It's fine. It's meltable. It goes on a burger. I'd rather have cheddar any day. But I think you'll agree with me. You don't know whether this is the best or the worst of Kansas City. If you've lived here for any period of time, or you know, or depending where you live around the country, a lot of people live all over the place and listen to the podcast. If you're familiar with Kansas City at all, you don't know whether this is the best part of Kansas City or the worst part. That we have traffic jams for the opening of Whataburger because the Chiefs quarterback has opened some restaurants. I honest to God, I don't know whether this is a great thing or embarrassing. I know I've spent a lot of time in the Phoenix area. I've been in some other places. This would not be happening in Phoenix. This Larry Fitzgerald could go out there and open Whataburgers, and they wouldn't have traffic problems. They wouldn't have the cops out with traffic problems. They wouldn't. They'd have a nice grand opening ceremony. Everybody, oh, good for Larry. Okay, good. But no, it would not be like this. Lee Summit is about to fall apart because the police are working overtime on a traffic jam for the Whataburger. And I honestly don't know if it's the greatest thing ever about this town that we do this or the most embarrassing part. I can't say the worst part. We know what the worst part of this town is. We know what it is. It's the liberals that run Kansas City, Missouri. That's the most harmful thing in our metropolitan area. That's the worst thing we have is liberals in charge of Kansas City, Missouri proper. That's what's hurting the entire area. That's the worst thing. So this doesn't compare to that. So I would say, is it the greatest thing about Kansas City that we act like this, or is it the most embarrassing thing? I really don't know. I used to think that it was really embarrassing, stuff like this. And I think as I've gotten older, I've sort of accepted and thought, well, we're a different kind of people here. We're different. We take pride in some odd things, and that's okay. Enjoy your Whataburger. They got a lot of free run here. You know, I'd love to have a burger place advertising on KKHI. Wouldn't that be great? Or a restaurant somewhere. We could have some patron parties there. Hasn't really happened to this point. Sure could use that. That'd be fun for all of us to go there and meet somewhere and have some patron parties and things of that nature. We'll talk more about the patron program in a little bit because I'm going to play a clip for you later of part of yesterday's patron podcast. You really should become a patron or ask for it for Christmas as a gift this year. And become a patron of KKHI. We're going to stay right on the Chiefs here to start the show. The snap counts are out from the game Sunday night, and I didn't used to really love looking at snap counts for individual players, how many players played how many snaps. Chad Henne got a couple in this game. But it's fun to look at now as it pertains to positions, not necessarily individuals. There were five offensive linemen for the Kansas City Chiefs that played 70-plus snaps in the game. Most of them 73 to 76, I believe, snaps in the game. On the defensive line, and I don't really understand the difference here. On the defensive line, Frank Clark led the way with 36 snaps. Chris Jones had 33. So if you're Wiley on the offensive line or Humphrey, you played twice as many snaps as Frank Clark or Chris Jones in the money that they're making. It's true. Now, the Chiefs did snap the ball more on offense than the Raiders, so there were more opportunities. But still, Juan Thornhill took the most snaps for the Chiefs, 52, and was active. And that means Chris Jones took 19 fewer snaps than Juan Thornhill. I guess I don't understand the difference between playing defensive tackle and playing center or guard. You're in the trenches. You're sitting there going every time. And offensive linemen are just expected to go, go, go and play the entire game. And defensive linemen aren't. I find that interesting in the snap counts. I also see a lot of snaps in the game where Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill are out, and I think that's a good thing. I think that has to do with being fresh in the second half, fourth quarter, later in the season, all those things. I like that. I'm good with that. So there's a lot of things to be seen if you ever take a look at the weekly snap counts. But the most unusual to me is why do offensive linemen play twice as many snaps as defensive linemen? I just guess I don't get that. This week, it's the Dallas Cowboys. You will hear a lot of talk about the Dallas offense. They are amazing. They are amazing. They were shut down 2 weeks ago, essentially, by the Denver Broncos. Just basically completely shut down. Then they went nuts for 43 this weekend against Atlanta. It wasn't all offense. They blocked a punt for a touchdown in that game as they destroyed the Falcons. The entire focus this week will be the Dallas offense versus the Chiefs defense. And a few weeks ago, this looked like a complete mismatch. The Chiefs have now played three games in a row where they've been what 20 points or less? And the game before that maybe was the Giants? Do I have them out of sync? Three in a row is the Giants. Oh, boy, I got to get this right. Giants, Packers, Raiders. The Giants were over 20, weren't they? Did they get to 20 or 21, something like that? Doesn't matter. The Chiefs defense played well that night. Since being lit up by the Titans at Tennessee, the Chiefs defense has played very well. The Chiefs defense overall Sunday night did not give up 300 yards. We talked about before the game with the Raiders that if the Raiders throw for 300 yards or more, they win. If they don't, they lose. That held true as the Raiders didn't even have 300 total yards. Chiefs defense played very well. What would be a good game against Dallas? Man, 24 points right now. I'll give them 24 and be the happiest guy ever if the Chiefs could hold the Dallas Cowboys to 24 points. Here's the problem with playing Dallas. Stan Weber will tell you their defense is overrated, but Stan is an incredible Dallas Cowboys fan. He can be very harsh on them. The Cowboys have one giant weakness, and that's their head coach. He gets in close games and makes ridiculously stupid decisions. They do not have a smart football team. They do dumb things because they're uber talented, and a lot of times they win easy. They can play sloppy and stupid like the Chiefs do. These teams have some similarities. The Cowboys' defense for quarterbacks, for opposing quarterbacks, has been the fourth hardest defense. Their quarterback rating, holding opponents' quarterback rating, is at 82.7. That is a ridiculously great number. So the Cowboys' defense is hell on quarterbacks. That's the first thing you have to know, is Patrick Mahomes will not do what he did Sunday night. He's not throwing for 400, and he's not throwing five touchdowns against the Dallas Cowboys. Isn't happening. What Dallas defense is, and here's why. Dallas takes chances. They do, and that's good because Mahomes can beat you on chances. The better part, the silver lining of this matchup, is the Cowboys give up a lot of yards after the catch. They take so many chances trying to intercept the ball, get turnovers, make big plays, that you can throw a 7-yard slant and turn it into a 26-yard gain. They give up lots of yards after you catch the ball. So if the Chiefs can be efficient in completing passes, they might be able to hit the Cowboys with some big plays in this game. I can't wait to see this game play out. Dallas is really good. I think right now, if you had to be honest, this isn't the toughest game of the year because it's at home, but it may be the best opponent. I think if I were ranking them right now, I'd say Dallas is the best team on the Chiefs' schedule. But it's Dallas, and McCarthy's a boob. He's a bonehead. They do stupid things, and crazy things happen to Dallas, and they lose games in the most unexpected ways. So you always know that when you're getting the Cowboys. You don't know that you're going to get some disciplined, orderly football game where they're just going to dissect you. No, they're going to make big plays. They're going to give up big plays, and this should be a wildly fun and entertaining game coming up on Sunday. KKHI is sponsored by BStock.net. We talked about them a little while ago. One of the things about BStock is, as Black Friday comes up, if you see something advertised, they will beat it. They're not matching it, they'll beat it. Anything that they have is lower than Best Buy, period, end of conversation, whether it's Black Friday or not. They'll beat it. They'll laugh at the price. They'll laugh at the Black Friday prices. So also don't forget the huge discounts on bad boxes. What's a bad box? It's a box that gets dented on the corner or cut a hole in it or something, and they get refused by retailers. They get sent banned to, let's say, Samsung or Dell or whatever, and then BStock gobbles them up. They go through. They completely test them. They have to certify them, and they will sell them as bad box items but still give you the full warranty. As they're not, they work fine. We've looked at them. They work fine. And you can save big on that at BStock.net, 14680 South Flaming Rome. That's in Olathe. Merriam Body Shop is in Merriam. Oddly enough, MerriamBodyShop.com is the website. Justin is there, and he is a red, white, and blue, full-throated, alpha male, masculine trumper. And he runs the joint at Merriam Body Shop, and you're going to love him. You're going to walk in. He's going to make you feel completely comfortable with everything that goes on. I walked through the shop, met all the guys that do all the great work there, and they are artists at Merriam Body Shop. Just off I-35 in Johnson Drive. Call 913-362-1198 for any body work or collision repair you need. Also, complete custom detailing. What a great holiday gift that would be for your spouse to get their car cleaned up like new with the ceramic coating on the outside. Unbelievable job at the new car image. It's just one phone number. They'll give you details on what to do and where to go. 913-362-1198. And, of course, John Hutchins and my friends at Amazing Garage Floors. I'm under 2 weeks from when he's going to be in my garage. I can't wait. I'm getting it painted. I'm getting the floor. I may celebrate Christmas in there. I'll be so happy in my garage. You can, too, with AmazingGarageFloors.net. Okay, it's been very interesting the last few days. People are treating the Kansas win over Texas, and I like this. This is not a knock. They're treating it like, where were you when Kennedy was shot? Where were you on 9/11? You know, where were you when Kansas beat Texas? And I'm not making light of those historic events that took place. I'm having fun with the Kansas-Texas game. The latest of which, of course, they had to ask Bill Self, where were you? What were you doing when Kansas beat Texas in football? I love stories like this. When things like this happen, it reminds me why I got into sportscasting and why, as a very young man, a young boy, 7 years old, this is what I wanted to do for a living. If I couldn't be a professional baseball player, this is what I always wanted to do. And this is why, because of stories and events like this. You can't make them up. So they ran to Bill Self and said, where were you, coach? Where were you? You weren't at the game, right? You couldn't. Nope, the season had started. I wasn't. We were on a work trip. Me and Curtis Townsend were in Phoenix in a gym watching a kid on a recruiting trip. And our phones didn't work very well. But we were watching the score update on our phones. They couldn't get the stream, apparently, of the game or whatever. They couldn't. But they were watching it. They were very excited as they were watching this kid play ball. You know, a lot of the going and watching a kid play ball is not really evaluating the kid. They've already evaluated him. They want him or they wouldn't be there. It's mostly just being in the stands near the parents and letting the kid know that you're there. That's mostly what these recruiting trips are about. But Bill Self is there and he's on the recruiting trip and they win. And of course he texts the coach and he's very happy for the coach. And what comes out in the discussion is this. I didn't know this. Maybe a lot of you did know this. Lance Leipold, the football coach at Kansas, bought the house next door to Bill Self. They're next door neighbors. They're literally next door neighbors. So the next time, I've been so good to Kansas this week. I like to tease Kansas fans because they think Lawrence is some metropolis. They like to think of it as not. They know that it's a college town. They like that it's a college town, but they like to think that it's Austin, Texas, and it's not. Austin, Texas has like maybe a million people now or over a million people. Major airport, giant downtown, five-star hotels, live, vibrant music scene, all this stuff. That's not Lawrence. Lawrence is a classic college town. Does it have a few more residents than Manhattan? Yes, if that makes you feel like, okay, whatever. Same thing with Columbia. Columbia, I think Columbia is bigger than Lawrence. I'll have to look it up as far as population is concerned. I could be wrong. But these are all great classic college towns. We need to embrace that. And one of the beautiful things about great classic college towns is for so many people, it's a different experience than where they grew up. If you grow up in rural Kansas or Missouri and you go to one of these three schools, you're going to a bigger town than you've lived in. If you grew up in Kansas City or St. Louis or Wichita, you're going someplace far smaller and it's a completely different feel. That's the beauty of a college town. It's unlike any other place. One of the great beauties of college towns is you have things like the University of Kansas, which is esteemed, well-known, has a big, giant brand. Everybody around the country knows the Kansas Jayhawks. It is so small that the football coach and the basketball coach are next-door neighbors. And I love that. That's the kind of thing that comes out. See, when you win a football game, I can't stop talking about it. And everywhere I've been going, and it doesn't matter who you are, Missouri fans, K-State, KU, everywhere I've been since Saturday night, everybody's talking about the Kansas game. So I'm going to give you another little bonus here. All right, this is from the Patron Podcast on Tuesday. Between the Lines 2.0, we do it every week with Danny, and we talk sports. And we moved off onto a tangent on this KU game, and we had a blast with it, talking about how our experience is watching the game and what people have thought of since Kansas was able to beat Texas on Saturday night. I'd love for you to sign up as a patron. It's only $5 a month. We're going to be announcing a charitable component of the patrons program that is going to be very positive for our community. So if you'd like to get signed up and be part of that, you can go to kkhasissues.com, click on Become a Patron. You get the extra podcasts every week and the newsletter every weekend. It is well worth the $5 that we ask, or more. If you want to do more, you certainly can. But I'm telling you, you're going to enjoy the programming. I'm going to give you another little sneak peek. My apologies to all the patrons listening because you've heard this clip of Danny Klinkscale on BTL 2.0, part of the patron program on Tuesday, talking about an incredible Kansas 2-point conversion to beat the Texas Longhorns.
That was really amazing. Yeah, it was amazing because KU had to, you know, keep winning the game. And I guess at the least they, you know, had the game won and then they had to win it again. And then they improbably win on a 2-point conversion to a guy who'd never taken an offensive snap before, whose mother was suiting the play on the phone, not realizing her son was actually on the field until he caught the ball. The freshman from a little town in Kansas who then, you know, looked like a freshman from a little town in Kansas who kind of didn't belong out on the field. And then he caught the ball and they won and he went to celebrate and chest bump his teammate who flattened him completely and he awkwardly tumbled to the ground but didn't care. And everything was wonderful about it. I mean, you know, Texas is obviously a troubled team right now. And I said leading up to this game that it was sort of a half a joke that things were going so bad that if they lost this game, would Steve Sarkisian get fired? But I was just saying it because whoever thought that Kansas could possibly win the game, and yet they did, and they did it in unbelievably remarkable fashion. And, you know, it has the feel, and you never know. It has the feel of a program starter for Lance Leipold.
Yeah, I agree. And I was going to harken back to the late 80s when Bill Snyder took over. And there's some similarities that when they finally won, when they finally beat somebody, it jump-started everything because that you have to have, you know, you have all these new rules. You have the new system. All these players have been great and said Leipold treats everybody the same. He doesn't have any preconceived notion about anyone. It all sounded right. It looked right. The penalties are down. The turnovers are down. A lot of the things are happening. But at some point, there has to be a payoff, and it can't be 2 or 2.5 years in. The fact that it happened this year completely changes their offseason, Danny, and everything that they do within the program. It's not some small win. It was improbable, not from the fact that they beat him a couple of times. You make an excellent point. They won the game several times. But that last play, I mean, that was the kind of thing where, you know, you remember a reporter named Gene Fox at Channel 5 many, many, many years ago?
Yes.
He walked in and asked Bill Snyder on a play fairly similar to that. K-State finally won a game. And he said, "What, you just draw that one up in the dirt?" And Snyder just let him have it. I mean, just unloaded on him. And that's where Snyder got his reputation for being kind of an ass. And he said, "We don't draw anything up in the dirt. There's a second option, a third option, a fourth option on every play here." That's what this was. That looked like a lucky play. There's a million angles that show that that was an impossible two-point conversion. The kid you mentioned, Jared Casey's from Plainville, Kansas. His dad, Justin, is an insurance agent, a volunteer firefighter, and a volunteer assistant football coach. His kid's a walk-on, hasn't really even played, got a couple of special team snaps. They drove 12 hours to the game and then had this happen. This is a movie, Danny. This is unbelievable. This is an unbelievable story.
It is an unbelievable story. And is his dad's name Justin Case?
Justin Casey.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, right.
I thought his name was Case. Yeah. I don't know why. Anyway, thank goodness it's not. But anyway, it's bad enough, Justin Casey. but yeah, I mean, it's unbelievably cool because it just shows the dedication parents have too. Because, you know, to go that distance and not really know that your son is going to either play or play any significant action in the game, and you know, he's only a freshman, so he's got other time to play and all kinds of things that make it unbelievably great. And you're right, because I've been on record as saying that I feel like Lance Leipold is doing some good things, and Stan Weber has talked to me about some of the good things internally and everything. But, you know, I'm a little more simple of a fan, not just an analyst who can dig in and see whether, you know, somebody's left foot is in the proper position or whatever. You do need some results, and their results had not been good. By results, this season, heading into that, with one tiny exception of a half of really good football against Oklahoma, or incredibly great resemblance to all the other bad coaches that Kansas has had since Mark Mangino. I mean, the results weren't any better. In fact, you could make a case that maybe they were worse. Now, they barely won a game to start the season against an opponent that is not even good in a lesser division. And they consistently had gotten clobbered, and they had small spurts of looking, you know, okay. But most of those were just driven by heroic play by their quarterback, who was either really good or really terrible in his games. So this game was no fluke at all. Looked real, you know. Yeah. Now they still gave up over 50 points, but they won the game.
Yes, it absolutely looked like they were a football team, and they played well and moved the ball and did the things. You know, I haven't watched every snap of Kansas football this year, but I can watch them enough and look at their statistics and see that they're averaging, what, 45, 50 more yards per game offensively than they have been, that the penalties are down, the turnovers are down. Those are real indicators, Danny. Those people don't want to, they want wins and losses. But man, when you're taking over something this bad, you got to do that other stuff first and get them to buy in. And eventually something good happens. The video from the parents, they're over 100 yards away. They're in the opposite end zone.
Right.
Like they're 100 and some yards behind the KU offensive line on that play. You can't see anything. It's complete mayhem. The brother shoots a video. They put it on Twitter. It's got over 2.5 million views already on Twitter. the brother says, I think that was Jared. That was Jared. And the mom goes, what? They can't tell. They can't tell. And they're watching and the team's celebrating. And then there's a shot on the Jumbotron of the pile and he gets up with the ball and they're like, yeah, it's Jared. I mean, they literally were so far away they couldn't tell it was their son or their brother. Kirk Herbstreit then, of course, retweeted it and congratulated KU and Jared Casey, the young man, the walk-on that scored the two-point conversion. And so it got millions and millions of hits and reviews and all this other stuff. Just fantastic for Kansas football. And you know, Danny, it's just not very often that guys like you and I have been around this for so long are reminded why we got into the business we got into. This is it. This is the reason you grow up wanting to be a broadcaster or an announcer or a sports journalist or whatever. This is why. It's stories like this.
It is, and it's why that sports is absolutely remarkable, because this would be the type of thing that, you know, you'd get thrown. I'm just looking at the video again of him getting flattened by his teammates.
Right.
But I mean, this is the type of story that would just be, if people watched it fictionally, they would say, well, that's just stupid. That's absurd. You know, that's a Hallmark movie. Come on. And it is a remarkable story. And there were so many things that came out of this game that were good. Not only the Kansas play, but the interview with Lance Leipold afterwards, he was completely composed, not overly excited,
right,
happy for his players, but, you know, just like, hey, this is another step along the way.
We just have a blast with Danny on Tuesdays with Between the Lines 2.0. I've had so many people say, when we start the segment, if you haven't heard it, if you're not a patron, we use the Between the Lines theme music that we had for 23 years, and it sounds just like it, and people like the nostalgia of that. It reminds them of maybe a better time or something simpler. I don't know, but I have people all the time say they love the theme music because we play the Between the Lines theme music from the radio show that we had all those years. And Danny and I have a great time. You can hear that every Tuesday. We had a nice long episode yesterday. I think it was close to 40 minutes. We talked about Kansas, Missouri football, K-State, the Chiefs, so many sports things. We had a blast with that as Kansas gets the big win over Texas. Missouri Tigers have two games in a row now. This doesn't sound like anything. They have two games in a row now where they've held their opponent to under 200 yards rushing. It would be much more impressive if you said two games in a row now where it's under 100 yards. Like, under 200 is not some great, in my opinion, benchmark. But for the Tigers, they hadn't done that this year. And their run defense has been so bad, this is a marked improvement. So we'll credit the Missouri Tigers for being improved at this point. And two games in a row under 200 yards. A lot of people are saying, is it Al Davis? Is the coaching change? Is the maneuvering? I didn't like that when Lance Leipold did it. But the last two games have been better. I'm going to argue it has nothing to do with the coaching change. It has everything to do with an emphasis on we have to fix this. That's not one coaching move. That's the head coach being involved. That's personnel. That's a lot of decision making. That's focusing your athletes and your players on what is important. So I can't emphatically say that. I'm not inside the program. But generally speaking, when you're really bad at something like Missouri is with run defense, it's not almost ever one little coaching move. Oh, we reassigned this coach, and this guy's going to take it over, and that fixed it. No, it's the general feeling of everyone involved, this must get better. Has it been at the sacrifice of something else? We'll let you be the judge. It depends on what Missouri does. Do they win their games? They've got Florida and Arkansas left. If they win a couple more games, they've not only salvaged the season, they are on a huge upswing, and an entire thought process of what Mizzou's football season is different. They've got a chance. Can they gain momentum off one win and parlay that into another win or two and do something really good with their season? We will see with the Missouri Tigers, but the statistics say they are getting slightly better against the run. Kansas State this weekend plays Baylor. It's the final home game of the year for the Wildcats. Baylor's ranked 11th in the country. Their head coach is rumored to be on a very short list, if not at the very top, for the USC job. There are rumblings in Norman, Oklahoma, that Lincoln Riley is considering the LSU job. How fun would this be? How fun would this be? The two teams that remain in the Big 12, KU and K-State, how fun would this be? You've seen Lance Leipold beat Texas. Chris Klieman's got three bowl seasons in a row, bowl-eligible seasons in a row. He's won four in a row right now. How fun would it be if the Oklahoma coach left for LSU in a conference they're joining, just said, to heck with it, I'm out of here, I'm going to LSU now,
And if the Baylor coach, who looks to be maybe the best of all these young coaches, leaves and goes to USC, this would all just be great stuff for KU and K-State, wouldn't it? I think it would. We'll see what transpires on those fronts. But boy, there a lot of times where there's smoke, there's fire. We don't hear a lot of people tamping these things down, but we could have some rumblings in Waco and Norman with the head coaches. But on the line this week for Kansas State, they've got a chance. I dismissed it. I did not think Kansas State would win two of their last three. I thought Saturday against West Virginia would be hard. At times, I guess for a moment or two it was, but it was a relatively easy win compared to what I thought it would be. K-State's playing at a high level. They're running the ball. They're efficient in their passing. Skylar Thompson is making some big plays, made a huge throw in the game to ice that thing on Saturday, and I think they can beat Baylor. I don't know that they will. I think they can. Baylor's playing really well, and they're a really good football team. They're sound, and their defense is solid. And I think this is going to be a low-scoring, hard-fought, tough game. But K-State's got some guys on defense that are tough, man. That 22 green is a missile. And that's the only way to describe the guy. He's just a missile on the field. He just goes running and blows you up. They've got some guys that can play. So this is a really interesting game. But I think one of the things that's on the line, Kansas State, if they win this, of course they can win at Texas. Kansas won at Texas. Doesn't mean they will, but they can. Texas could be completely disheveled by then. We don't know. Maybe they get a turnaround. I don't know. Texas is too psycho. We know they have talent on the field. You know when you line up against them, a lot of their players are better than your players. But if Kansas State does, they could go 9-3. If K-State goes 9-3, I think Skylar Thompson, he'll clearly have two good games if they go 9-3. I think he might be first-team all-Big 12 quarterback. And that's not, I'm not boosting Skylar Thompson through the roof here. He's a really, really good college quarterback when he's healthy. He has taken shot after shot and been injured his whole career. He missed two and a half games this year to injury. But when he plays, Kansas State wins. It's crazy. The guy just wins football games. And I can't tell you who the first-team quarterback is in this league at this point. A lot could be decided in the last 2 weeks. That would be something else for Skylar Thompson to have played that long career at Kansas State. It's well documented how many wins he has over ranked teams. Baylor did not get into the top 10. He's got a bunch of wins over top 10 teams. Skylar Thompson does. Baylor is not in the top 10. They're 11, I think, in one of the polls. But if you pared that down to top 15 or something like that, it's a pretty remarkable number for Skylar Thompson. This is kind of what he does. He kind of wins games like this. And he usually does it coming from behind. The Skylar Thompson playbook at K-State is this. Kansas State will be down 23-14 with 7 minutes to go. And they will have this 9 minutes to go, this eternal 5.5-minute drive that ends with a 4th-and-3 where they kick the field goal and pull within 7, right? And then they hold Baylor, they go down, they tie the game, and in overtime he throws a touchdown pass to win it or something like that. That's the way Skylar Thompson does it. They'll frustrate you all day, and then he'll win it in the end. That's what he's done mostly against top 10 teams. They've fallen behind, you're frustrated, and he finds a way to win. We'll see what they do against Baylor this weekend. I'm personally proud to be affiliated with Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC in Excelsior Springs. I've gotten to know Mike Robinson and Tim Trader there, and they're good people. I think a lot of the stigma of automobile dealerships is gone. You know, of the salesman, the this, the that. That it really is about service, and we don't have some of the stereotypes that we once had. But I know any preconceived notion you have of a GM dealership or car dealership at all, if you have anything negative preconceived, it does not exist at Roberts Robinson. They're just not like that. These are down-to-earth folks that just want to treat you fairly. They want to get you the best price and get you in the car that's right for you. They can help you. They can help you with second-chance credit on a used car. They can help you with financing on a brand-new Chevy, Buick, or GMC. Buick, they've got a lot of great SUVs on the lot if you want to check those out. They've got some Chevy and GMC trucks on the lot, or if you'd like to order it just like you want it, like I did. More and more people are doing this. I know it sounds scary. It just isn't. You just tell them exactly what you want. They send it off to the factory, have it built, and in several weeks it'll be in. And if you don't like it exactly, you know, you get to test drive it then. If it's not exactly what you want, they'll keep it on their lot and get you something else. Or you can part and go separate ways. What's more honest and fair than that? RobertsRobinson.com. Back 9 Development. The Solheim condominiums at Grand Mirror are great investment properties. Tremendous investment opportunities for you. On the Colbert Hills Golf Course in the Fillon Hills of Manhattan, Kansas, with a pool, workout facility, and covered parking, extra wide hallways, extra space, full balconies. These are really cool. You get views out over the Flint Hills and over the golf course. Check them out online, back9development.com. And, of course, Dr. Jeremy Fry and Fry Orthodontics, where they're very proud that they run on time because your time is money. If you decide to get Invisalign, you're going to be on time every time. You'll have fewer appointments, less missed time from work or life. It's less painful. It's better hygiene. Consider Invisalign and fix that smile today, guys, with Fry Orthodontics. Call 913-469-9191 for that free appointment. That is the very first appointment. Okay, we'll start with something that sounds silly but is very serious to me. You've heard me say from time to time on the podcast, I've not spent a whole lot of time in depth on this. At some point I will, because I'm going to bust out some numbers, some facts, some funding. I have long believed as a private broadcaster, and we obviously own for 21 years, I was a co-founder and owner of a private broadcasting company that is regulated by the FCC, competing against publicly funded radio stations and television stations like NPR and PBS. I am completely 100% opposed to the government owning and operating radio stations. I think it's ridiculous. I think it's an incredible waste of taxpayer money. There is nothing done to make sure that the broadcasting on NPR or PBS is fair or balanced in any way, shape, or form. It does not exist. It is the government funding liberal media. That's what it is. It is exceedingly liberal. NPR is far left. PBS is far left. The government funds it because the Democrats attach it to any bill they can find to keep funding it because it's good for getting votes. This is the worst part of our democracy. This is insane. It's one thing if CNN makes a decision to be far left and their ratings go in the tank. That's on them. It's entirely another to take tax money from every American and push it to far left propaganda. And I'm sensing that the Republicans are finally going to fight back on this, that if we ever get control again, it's going to end. The funding needs to either end or you pass a law that says every other hour is controlled by one party. That would be fine with me. That'd be perfectly fine with me. Every other hour, they're on 24 hours a day, both entities. Democrats can put whatever program they want on from 9 to 10 a.m., Republicans 10 to 11, and so on and so on and so on. You each get 12 hours programming a day, 1 hour at a time. Hire your own people, your own producers, do what you want. That's true public access and information. And here's what's got the Republicans mad, and this is what's frustrating to me, is they don't even think in terms of votes. They don't even think in terms of the news part, the PBS, the NPR. They don't think like that. They get outraged at this is silly, this is wrong what's going on, but this is not the hill to die on. This is not the one that should finally bring you out and say, we got to stop funding this thing. This is not what should have gotten your attention. But it did. The Muppets on Sesame Street have gone racial. They've gone racial. They're introducing a new character called Ji Young. She's the first Asian American. That's the way they're describing her character. They've introduced Wesley and Elijah, who are black Muppets, African American Muppets. They've identified them. They've never identified Bert or Ernie. And they aren't white because Bert is orange. I mean, maybe he's Trump. I don't know. They've never identified anyone as white. But now they're identifying new characters as Asian Americans. They want to try to stop Asian hate. They've got African American characters. They don't have any white characters. Kermit the Frog is green. Should they have a toad on the show? Should they have a brown frog? Miss Piggy is pink. Should they have a white pig too? They don't identify those animals by the color of their skin. I don't understand any of it. Big Bird is a big yellow bird. We don't know exactly what that is, but people like Big Bird. Senator Ted Cruz is onto this, and he's right. He calls it government propaganda. Big Bird on the Muppets on Sesame Street is now talking to five-year-olds on their telly to get a vaccine. Tell your parents you want it. Big Bird is on Sesame Street convincing little kids to get the shot. This is insane. We passed laws a million years ago to not advertise cigarettes, to not target things to youngsters, to not, we don't allow you to show somebody taking a sip of a beer on a commercial. We have all these regulations on messaging, especially as they affect children. And the government, because they're run by the left and PBS is run by the left, is sitting here with Big Bird telling five-year-olds to go get a shot. Tell your parents you want it. It's an outrage. PBS needs to be completely defunded, as does NPR. Or keep the funding. Each party gets to control 12 hours of broadcasting in alternating one-hour increments. No binge watching. If you want to try to watch your hour if you're a liberal and your hour if you're conservative, whatever. If we're going to target kids, let's go take the old Rush Revere books by Rush Limbaugh. Let's turn those into cartoons. Let's put them on right after Sesame Street. Let's put that on. Let's wave the red, white, and blue and teach our kids to be patriots. I'm all for it. Stagger the hours. Or defund it and blow the whole thing up, because it makes no sense that one party gets taxpayer dollars for propaganda, especially aiming it at children. Disgusting. Really, truly disgusting. Not quite as disgusting as the Pulitzer Prize. Donald Trump came out on Tuesday and is demanding the Pulitzer Committee strip the prizes from the Washington Post and New York Times from 3 years ago for their Russia collusion stories that has turned out to be a hoax and completely fake. We have indictments for lawyers that work for Hillary. We have the Durham report. We've seen all kinds of things. We know the secret server did not exist. Literally, the New York Times and Washington Post won stories about a secret server that Trump had working with the Russians in collusion to beat Hillary and become president. It is completely not just debunked, it was criminal that this stuff was put out publicly. So these people took criminal information, published it, won awards, never verified it independently, and Trump is right. The Washington Post and New York Times should be stripped of these awards. It is still on the Pulitzer website that this stuff happened. He is demanding that the Pulitzer Committee take it off the website, that there was no secret server, there was no Russia collusion, that the whole thing was a hoax. And this goes back to his legacy. I understand what Trump's doing, whether he runs or not. This goes back to his legacy. 100 years from now, are people going to look back and go, well, he was impeached? Or are they going to look back and say, wow, he was a victim? That impeachment was a complete sham. None of that was true. Absolutely none of that was true. We know none of it was true. The question is, well, how will history remember it? And I think he's thinking we need the Pulitzer Committee to take it down. They need to strip these prizes from the Washington Post and New York Times, and it will prove to everyone that this was fake news, because it absolutely was fake news. Buck Roofing and Construction are available for you this winter. When it starts snowing and icing, you can get something called ice damming under your shingles, and you're going to need some help with that. Keep this number in your contacts, folks, right there on your phone, 913-384-2680. It really is an excellent number to keep in your contacts. You can call 24 hours a day for emergency service, or if you just want to get a free roof inspection to find out where you are on the life of your roof, Ron Buck and his team will do that for you. They'll do your roof an hour outside of Kansas City. This is not a strictly Kansas City thing. They do Lawrence, Topeka, Manhattan. They go into Missouri. They'll head out to Odessa, toward Mexico, Columbia, those areas. Lake of the Ozarks, he's done some jobs at the Lake of the Ozarks. A friend of mine just across the Iowa border called Buck Roofing on some properties at the lake that they have that they're working on. They're doing all that together. Ron Buck will come to you. Buck Roofing is the finest residential and commercial roofer you will ever meet. And 360 Document Solutions, online at 360documentsolutions.com. They're looking for people that are losing their jobs because of the mandates. They want you. They know you're an outstanding employee, and they want to give you a brand new future. Call Mark Lindquist if you're interested in being a sales rep or a technician, 913-745-5344. If you run a business, like a lot of these businesses that advertise on here, they can help you out. Marion Body Shop, for example, had a terrible problem with their phone system, and 360 went in and fixed that for them, cleaned the whole thing up. They called like AT&T was their provider or something. Well, the AT&T guy didn't know how to do it. They're like, we don't know. 360, Mark goes in there and fixes the whole thing for them. And they're running smooth. This is what they'll do. If you've got any issues at your office, they will fix it for you. 360documentsolutions.com. Okay, we'll end with a couple of fun things. One is, I don't get too, These things sound too historic and too impossible for me, so I don't get too hyped up on these things. But there's a couple of little things that come out. There's a couple of social media influencers that have said, watch out, Kamala Harris could be on her way out. Like, if you were going to push Kamala Harris out, when would it be? It would be like around the holidays when nobody's paying attention. Then it just kind of happens and you go into 2022 and you try to do something better. We know these reports are true, that there's incredible tension between the White House presidential staff and the White House vice presidential staff. That's fact. We know that. The Kamala crew apparently is cray-cray. They're all cray-cray. It doesn't matter. It's just different degrees of cray-cray. And so now Chad Pergram of Fox News has said that he's been tipped by someone, by a source, to get familiar with the vice presidential confirmation practice. And he's kind of begun to believe that what this is about is Joe Biden might want to get the 25th Amendment and try to figure out how to get Kamala Harris out and get somebody else in. The tension, the divide here apparently involves Pete Buttigieg. That was interesting to me. Kamala Harris and her staff do not like the way they're being treated. They especially didn't like the way Pete Buttigieg got 2 months off and complete support. And the feeling is that Kamala Harris's gender card and her non-white card, because she's not African-American, her parents were Canadian and Jamaican. I'm sorry, I can't call that African-American. She's non-white, but it's ridiculous. We're all eventually going to be non-white or whatever. It's going to be just one giant melting pot. So the whole thing is ridiculous in my mind that we even discuss it. The feeling is that her non-white card and her gender card are being disregarded completely for the gay card. This is where we are in America. The tension at the White House is, hey, I'm non-white and I'm female, and that's not as good as you being gay? The president prefers you because you're gay over me because I'm a female and non-white. This isn't fair. This isn't fair. But see, when that's all you do in politics is identify everything through a prism of identity of what you are instead of identifying as an American, this is what you get. And we're splintering off. We've seen it. The black vote is up for conservatives. It's going to continue to rise. We're seeing the whole thing splinter on them because you can't keep doing it. Americans want to be American. You don't want to be identified as something. First of all, I don't know very many women. I've met a couple. They were not friends necessarily. I've met a couple. I know a couple. I can't say I don't know them. I do not appreciate or hang around or get to know or like women who identify as women first and then everything else is secondary. That doesn't work for me. I don't like women like that. My wife doesn't. She's not female first. She's American first. She is a woman. That's inconsequential and incidental to her. To her, it's you're either a male or a female. She was born female. I'm born male. Okay, it's what we are. We go. We're equals. That's what we are. We're equals. It's not even a thought anymore that you're not equal in this country. I don't even understand it. But boy, Kamala does, because she's risen to the top. How? By playing that non-white card and that gender card. And here comes Pete Buttigieg, and he's gay, and he got 2 months off, and they're really sore that he got 2 months off for that. This is the petty crap that liberals worry about. And if she really is upside down on that and beside herself, get her out. I don't see how getting her out can help him in the midterms. And the question is it Pete Buttigieg that he wants? Because it may be. That may be what he wants. He may want to put him in and I don't know. He may want to handpick a successor to be the next president. Who knows what Biden may have in mind. But Chad Pergram of Fox News has been told to get familiar with the process to boot Kamala out. And our final story is a fun one. A roadrunner. This is a bird. You've seen a roadrunner, right? They live out in the desert. There's a lot of them in Arizona. A roadrunner found its way into a moving van in Las Vegas. And 4 days later, as the moving van was being evacuated in Maine, they found the roadrunner. Somehow they caught the roadrunner. Not an easy trick. And they got it to animal officials in Maine. They fed it. They got it well. It was 4 days in a dark truck with no food and no water. They said the bird's in good shape, and they're sending it back to Vegas. They're going to get it healthy, feed it, and send it back. They don't have an exact plan on how they're going to do this, but I don't know that the Roadrunner would survive in Maine. I hear stories like this, and we know that things come over on cargo ships from Asia, and that's how we get killer bees and things like that. It's pretty remarkable in the world today that more things aren't just moving from one place to another. We saw how fast COVID moved. It's pretty remarkable we don't have more things like this, like animals, you know, and we do. They're happening. That's how we have bears in Missouri. They had a bear hunting season this year, but that's quite a ride for a Roadrunner. We're glad the little guy, they don't know if it's a guy. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be gender specific here. They can't identify yet whether it's male or female. But we're happy that this bird is well, that it made it 4 days in the dark in that truck with no food, no water, and is in good shape and headed back home to the Nevada desert. Okay, again, if you'd like to sign up and become a patron, go to kksissues.com, click on the Become a Patron button. We'd love to have you on board for all the bonus programming you have, the premium content that we do, and the newsletter on the weekends. Or just hit the like or follow button and tell your friends about Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. We'd love it if you spread the word and told them where they can find some good sports talk, some great conservative commentary, and, you know, we like to have a little fun here as well. At Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.